We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
But today, we want to read a little bit from Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I'm just going to deviate from there soon. But let's start from Acts 1 8. Let's start from Acts 1 8. And we're talking on the subject, make room to witness. Make room to witness. We don't talk much about this anymore as churches. I think we will rather hear about the blessings of the Lord upon our lives and how we can prosper. You hear preachers giving you 10 ways of getting rich from John 10:10. I don't know where they're reading that from. But we live in a very complex world now where everything has to be... The Bible is taken as a business textbook. I don't think that was the intention of Jesus Christ. But let's talk about witnessing for a while, because this is important for a church. Acts 1:8 says, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." From this text, we can deduce that the primary task of the people of God is to be a witness of His glory. The primary task of a people that are called by the name of God is to be a witness of His glory, is to be a witness of His deeds. Whatever God is doing in your life, He expects you to be a witness of that. And Acts 1:8, we read of the first disciples being charged to be witnesses of the risen Christ. Chapter 1 is about the risen Christ. That's really what it's about, how they were entrusted with the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, it is that message that changes everything about our walk with God. If we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then we have a reason for proclaiming Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then there is that's why we have Holy Communion. It's because He rose from the dead. It's a big issue when we think about the resurrection of Christ. So the whole of Acts chapter 1 is built on this thing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the disciples are sent out, say, take this message to the nations, starting in Jerusalem, and take it out to the uttermost parts of the known world. And I hope you notice that it says that, and you will be my witnesses. Is that what it says? You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Why will you be my witnesses? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses. So Jesus is saying to them, I'm not suggesting this to you. I'm not saying you can be a witness, or maybe you might be a witness. He says, you will be a witness. You will be my witnesses. So Luke is very clear, the guy who wrote this book, is very clear that there are implications for being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the first implication is that we will be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Now, the next question is, if we're a smart class, we'll ask, so what is a witness? Okay. A witness is one who affirms or gives testimony of a certain fact or event. The testimony is given to people who do not have that knowledge. Okay? You might not have that knowledge, so you give someone that information. Suppose you were involved in a car accident out of which a court case followed. And you are called to be a witness to what happened. So you must give testimony of what you saw or what you experienced. Something about which the judge may not know or know very little about. That's a witness. You're simply saying what you saw or what you experienced. Sometime last month, we had a break-in in this church and things were stolen, particularly the equipment. the equipment that we use for streaming this service. And so the police rang me and said, would you give us a testimony. Will you witness to us what happened? I said, no, you're not. I'm not the right person because I did not discover that anything is stolen. I know someone who can tell you what exactly happened or how she found things. I was not an expert witness in that case. So a witness is someone who says, I came in, I saw this, I saw that, I saw that. They give an expert witness of what they saw or experienced. That's a witness. So when the Bible then says, you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses of what? Of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the other question is, so how do we know that Jesus, because we were not there 2,000 years ago. How then is it that God is expecting us to be witnesses of that which we were not a part of? Well, this is where it gets interesting because number one, we know from those that saw him and the resurrection, they actually gave testimony of his resurrection. We know them. Is Paul, as it John, right, says, we write of that which we have seen, heard, and touched. Says this we write of. So we know people that saw this happen. Rather, they gave us the word. It's written. There's a testimony of the word that we all know, if we read it, that Jesus is alive. But beyond that, there is someone who was there when everything happened, and that someone is the one that the Bible says will come upon you. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there 2,000 years ago when Jesus was killed and when he rose from the dead. In fact, it is him who raised him from the dead. And it is him who now lives, he dwells in us. Jesus taught us this. He says, I will send him. He will dwell in you. He's the comforter. He's your helper. He's your paracletus. So he is with us. He lives in us. And he's the witness with our spirits that we have been born again. So if you want to know that Jesus is alive, the question we should be asking is, do I have the Holy Spirit indwelling? Because if he dwells in you, then you have someone who was right there when it happened. So with that in mind, it means that's what we take to the world, that Jesus is alive. And usually it's your testimony that matters. Because no one can lie to you and say you don't know Jesus Christ. When you have an encounter, we've had an encounter with Jesus Christ, you know it yourself that I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. It can't be reversed by someone saying, you're lying. You know it. And that knowing is built in by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I usually say Christianity is one of probably the only religion where there is an inner witness of what you have done, i.e. giving your life to Jesus Christ. Unless that witness is there, then salvation is shaky. Your salvation is shaky because you are not sure. I think you've heard this question that says, are you sure you're going to be in heaven? It's a tricky question, but it's not tricky if you know the Holy Spirit. So, why should every believer be a witness for Jesus? Why am I on this thing? Because we have made witnessing a specialized ministry. What do I mean? There are people like Peter that are extroverts, that just talk naturally. They are good with people. Their personality is amazing. And then we say, yay, that's the evangelist. That's your job. Go and share, go and witness out there. And then there are those that are quiet. They hardly say anything. So, oh, you just stay here. You are okay here. Don't worry. So and so will do the witnessing. But this scripture wasn't saying that. This scripture is very clear. It says, and when the Spirit of God comes upon who? You, the believers, then you will be my witnesses. Talking about everybody in this room. Everybody. We are called to be witnesses. Why? Because we've been empowered to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Another thing about this scripture is it actually doesn't qualify the territory where you can be a witness. For example, if you lived in China today and you are reading this scripture, are you an exemption? If you are reading this scripture and you find yourself living in the Middle East, for example, or Saudi Arabia, or in Lebanon, or in places where scriptures might be, it might be difficult to witness, are you exempt from this text? No, you are not. It sounds to me that the Holy Spirit does not need a passport in order for you to witness about Jesus Christ. It's almost as though there's you have a supernatural power that comes upon you that breaks through barriers that you thought were barriers to witnessing. So, in that view, it means that there is nothing really that can stop you from being a witness of Jesus Christ. Because every excuse, every barrier, every limitation, everything that might hinder you or block you from being a witness has been superseded by the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because scripture says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, but in Samaria, in Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, God knew that the uttermost parts of the world were full of darkness. But he sent them there anyway. He said, go. So why should every believer be a witness? Number one, just quickly through this. Number one, I need time if I could. Okay, otherwise we'll preach until tomorrow. Because each person matters to God. Each person matters to God. Each person matters to God. You have heard us say in this place that people matter to God, therefore, I can't hear you. People matter to God, therefore, they must matter to us. They must matter to us. If you sit in a public place like an airport or a train station, you will notice loads of people just moving, going about their business. It's so busy. Different ethnicities, different background and interests. You just observe. But in the midst of all these observations, two things stand out from a kingdom perspective. Two things stand out. Number one is that everybody is created in the image of God. That's very clear. It should be clear. Everybody is created in the image of God. If we know that, then it really helps us to view people from a different perspective. And the second thing you will notice from our observation is that if they are made in the image of God, therefore, they matter to God. Every single human being matters to God. Everyone. This was the problem with the Jews of Jesus' time, because they felt that if you were not a Jew, you were outside God's purposes and God has no business with you. But Jesus says in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of who? Of all nations. He was breaking through that mental barrier they had, cultural barrier they had, that this gospel is for people that matter to God. And people that matter to God, according to them, were Jews. But Jesus blows that out and says, listen, everybody matters in my plans. People matter to God. This is the kingdom reality. If people matter to God, they must matter to God's people too. And God's people are you and me. People must matter to us too. There is no human being on this planet that is not valuable to God. Not even one. Not even one. And when this fact grips us, we will get to understand people in a different way. Let me give us a glimpse of how Paul thought about God's love for his people. Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 19. I think it sounds better from NIV, but let's see. Ephesians 3, verse 17. I'll just start from the middle of verse 17 because it's too long. And I pray that you, being rooted and established, other versions say grounded, in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is how much God loves us. And Paul uses very interesting ways to describe the love of God for us. We grew up singing a song that says, a human being's love is this big, but God's love is this big. And we used to sing and say, you know, God's love, men's love is as deep maybe as your bathtub, but God's love is as deep as the deepest ocean in the world. We used to sing. It was a song. You know, there's a lot of theology in that song, you know. But we used to dance and sing. Maybe we didn't really fully grasp the song. But there's something deep about that, that God's love is, you can't measure it. It's so deep and so high and so wide that you can't measure it. And this love is extended to every human being made in his image. Every human being. This is why this whole issue of tribes, ethnicity, race is a joke to God. Because how do you explain God's love when you hate a person who's different from you? How? How do you even fit God into that equation? If you're not from my village or you're not from Sheffield, for example, Yorkshire, then I don't know you. Where are we getting that from? Because God's love transcends nationalities. It transcends ethnicity. It transcends backgrounds. People matter to God, therefore they must matter to us. And one of the indicators, just a little indicator that God gave us as a trigger to manifest or to show God's love is compassion. You remember in Matthew 9, verse 35, verse 38, when Jesus saw a lot of people, he was doing a crusade, and people would not go home, and they just were just coming. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion. Has he put it on the screen? Matthew 9, 35, 38. He was moved with compassion because compassion is a trigger for God's love to move. It's just a trigger. You can ignore it. You know? You can ignore the trigger and say, oh, I don't care. But if you follow through that compassion trigger, it will lead you to an expression of love. Since all people matter, who is it in your sphere of influence that God is calling you to reach out with love? Probably there's somebody God is wanting you to reach out with his love. Number two, because Jesus told us to go and tell. We forget this. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo and behold, I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. This is what we call the Great Commission of Jesus Christ to the church. The word commission, I think it's my wife was preaching here, she referred to the Webster Dictionary, and it says, I don't know whether we're referring to the same one, because I think I've got a different take to it here. It says, it's an authoritative order. Okay, that's commission. It's an authoritative order or charge. It's authority granted for a particular action or function. I think Head Dictionary says to send on a mission. The spiritual one says to send on a mission. But really, a commission is an authoritative order. It matters who's giving that order. Okay? And in this case, Jesus is the one who first defined who he is. He says, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. So he lays down the framework or the place where he's talking from. He's talking from a place of authority. And he says, not only on earth, but even in heaven, I've been given that authority to authorize you to go and make disciples. So, I'm not giving you an idea. And you know, that commission is a commission to witness. Witnessing, therefore, is not a gift, but an assignment. It's an assignment. Jesus did not say, look, if you're in the mood, if you wake up, you're in the mood and you feel like reaching out to your neighbor, please do. Is that what he said? Or did he say, oh, if it works out in your busy schedule, when you find time, please do share. Is that what he said? No. As a personal favor to me, please do witness. Is that what Jesus said? No, 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 no. Jesus says, it's an order, go and make disciples of all nations. It doesn't matter where you are. Go and make disciples. It's important that we capture that. In they say that in the original language, anyway, commission is not an option. Commission is a command. We call it the Great Commission, but maybe we're afraid of saying the Great Commandment. How we read it today, we read it as if it's saying the Great Suggestion. If you're a child of God, he expects you to go. And our assignment is go. Go. These words were not only given to the original 11 disciples, they were given to all of us. It's not given to pastors, to evangelists, or to missionaries. It's given to all of us. We are challenged. We're given a charge to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, if I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I'm not being the disciple that is doing what I've been authorized to do, then there's something I need to attend to in my discipleship journey. It means there's something I need to deal with. It's necessary that I look at how the cross has affected my life and whether I'm reading this scripture correctly that says I've got to make disciples. Now, there are issues of saying, but I'm not equipped. There are issues of saying, but I'm not good enough. But the Bible then says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you shall be my witnesses. So I will spend a lot of time investing in finding out who the Holy Spirit is and what can he do with my life. That's what I will do. Because I need this game changer in my life. We spoke last week about this. So we need the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission is not the Great Omission. Contrary, here is another thing that is a problem in today's world. The problem is that if you listen carefully to some discouraged Christians, for that matter, if you listen carefully, you'll hear a message that says, people don't need Jesus Christ anymore. Hello? If you listen carefully, you hear that, oh, people are not interested in Jesus in Sheffield here. They don't need Jesus Christ anymore. Oh, Pastor, people are busy with their lives. How is it then that people are interested in Buddhism right here in this city? I have a friend of mine who runs Buddhism classes. He was telling me the other day, testifying, saying, you know what, Anderson, we've multiplied classes. He was even inviting me. He was witnessing to me. And he knows I'm a pastor, you know. You could come, you know. I said, I looked at him, then he quickly changed it. Oh, but it doesn't matter whether they're Christian or not, you know. It's for everybody. He was telling me like the guy is taking the city. He was saying, we've got into NHS now. He is doing some business executive class. He was saying, he was all over the place. Now, so where are we getting the message that people are not interested in Jesus Christ? It's all over. The question is, who are you listening to? Usually, I'm just giving an example. Please, I'm not making enemies today. But most discouraged Christians will tell you, no, we don't need to witness. People are not interested here. Go to Africa or Asia. Really? What am I doing in Africa? I went here. This is where we got to witness and share this message of salvation. The good news needs to be shared here because that commission was given to all of us. People are interested in Jesus Christ. The devil is lying to us. People need forgiveness. People need their past dealt with. They need a purpose for living, a meaning to life. And they're everywhere. You hear them. You see them. You feel them. The people need direction from those that know Jesus Christ. And you know what? We know what they need. They need the good news. They need the good news. We might be clumsy in sharing it, but you know, the Holy Spirit can use you. I remember sometime, I didn't even want to share Christ to this guy. I just wasn't interested. I just was, this guy, so difficult. Then I just shared, like, carelessly. And the guy got saved. I couldn't believe what was happening. This guy gets saved, what I'm saying? Then I realized that it's not about me. It's about he who's in me, who's using me to witness to a person who does not know Christ. And that's how it works. That's how it works. Number three. Why should I be a witness for Jesus Christ? Because you have received power to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Acts 1:8, which I've gone over and over because it's an important text for us to capture today. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. I'm not going to go into detail today, but maybe next week, I'm going to explain why do I need power to witness? How is it that I don't need power to do public speaking, do I? But when it comes to witnessing, I need power. I don't need power to go see my friend and we chat about Manchester United or Chelsea or whatever. You don't need power for that, do you? You just talk and talk and talk until sunrise. But when it comes to witnessing, the Bible says, I need power. We'll talk about that sometime. But for today, let's look at that word again, witness. The word witness there, the English word is witness, but it's not... The word used for that is matter. It's like a matter. The perfect translation is one which reads that as a matter. A matter is a person who dies because they believe in something. They are prepared to die for it. Okay? They are prepared to die for what they believe in. It simply means sealing your testimony with your blood. It's not getting easy, is it? Is sealing your testimony with your blood. Like the Chinese Christians, for example, where there are so many restrictions about preaching the gospel in China. So if you are found out carrying a Bible or trying to witness to somebody, chances are you might be in imprisonment for at least 10 years, hard labor, or you could die. So when you go and witness, you know what could happen, but you do it anyway. That's what that word is about in its strictest sense. You know, thank God for England, we're allowed to preach the gospel. Thank God that we have the freedom for now, to share the word, to speak the word, to carry our Bibles. Yes, there might be issues if you go stand on in the moor and start preaching. Yes, you will have attacks and all that, but it's not illegal. You are allowed to preach the gospel. Yeah. You might go to the police station and answer a few questions, but they'll let you go. Okay? They'll let you go. You'll be fine. They'll let you go. This is important because Jesus did not leave any building. Jesus did not leave any writings. He never wrote any book. He did not leave any material relic for us to say this, whatever. No. But what he left were disciples. And he entrusted these disciples with the message of his resurrection, the message of salvation. And he had no plan B. He built everything on these 12 and said, you are my plan. I've entrusted you with the message, but however, I will send you a helper. And wait in Jerusalem until the helper comes. Then you take the world for Jesus. That's exactly what happened. If God needed them to be educated, he would have opened a university for them. If it had to do with just being smart intellectually, God would have not even chosen those 12, because those 12 were not smart guys. They were unschooled. They were uncouth, some of them. They were very, very ordinary. Ordinary folks. Just did fishing, smelled fish, did their stuff. That's all they did. But these guys smelling fish all over the place turned the world upside down. The secret is the Holy Spirit. It's not because we're from Cambridge or from Oxford or from Yale. It's nothing to do with that. In fact, it's even amazing that Jesus said to them, you guys think you are smart. Just because you think you are smart, you are blind. I was talking to the Pharisees because they were the smartest boys in town. He says, for the reason that you think you can see, you are blind. So it's nothing to do with that. It's got to do with the power to witness, the Holy Spirit. Jesus, it was so simple that, can you imagine Jesus had to borrow someone's living room to have the Last Supper? So he had to get a friend, can I use your upper room? Amazing what Jesus, he was an amazing man. Very simple. But whatever you do in your witnessing, make sure the subject of your witness is Christ. Don't add your own stuff, you know. Oh, you know, if you follow Jesus Christ, you'll drive a new car. We're adding our own things now. I know a church in America that was trying to increase attendance. So they were giving money to anybody who was new. They said, we'll give you money. Welcome to 21st century church making. So you don't need all that. Preach Christ, Him crucified and resurrected. That's all we need to do. That's the message that has been entrusted to us, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think, they won't accept this. You are not out to impress anybody. It's the message of the cross. That's what we need. It's Jesus Christ that we need. But also witness in the Holy Spirit. Don't witness in your power. Don't use your wisdom. Use the power of the Holy Spirit. The results will shock you. That's all you need. Without the gift and the presence of the Holy Spirit, witnessing is hard work. It's hard work. I remember some time where we used to have those, I'm not going to mention, but there used to be friends that used to come and knock every week in our house, and they say, oh, we're selling some books here. I said, what books are you selling? Oh, these Watchtower books. Every week, they made a mistake. I will send them away, they'll still come. I'll send them away, they'll still come. They will go around each house every week. You were assured that they are coming. You knew they were coming. And they said the same thing. And I told them the same thing. But you know what I like about them? They were determined. They knew their message. They didn't give up. They kept coming. But you see, we have a life-giving message. What are we doing? We can cause a difference to happen. We can make a difference in somebody's life. Amen. These unknown men became something else when the Spirit of God came upon them. Now let's do the last one and then we'll pray. The last one is very unpopular because it doesn't talk about this anymore. But it's real. We witness because hell is a real place. It's as though we're not allowed to talk about this anymore. I don't know whether you are aware that hell is mentioned 63 times in the Bible. While these Christians today may not like mentioning anything at all to do with hell or fear of offending people, Jesus himself referred to it 10 times in his parables. He would mention, you'll talk about hell. And in most cases, when he talked about hell, he was talking to Christians. I mean, to his followers. Not to the lost. To his followers. He said, you've got to know this. In one of his teachings, he says to them, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25, verse 41. He mentions this. Now, I like this because from that scripture, we learn something. And what we learn is that hell was not created for human beings. Jesus is the one who gives us this information. He says it was created for the devil and his demons and his angels. So it was not meant for human beings at all. And the revelation of this is important because it will change how you are motivated to witness to the lost. We need to be well informed about hell from scripture, not from movies, from scripture. Because scripture has a view about hell. And you hear people, I've heard people say to me, how is it that a loving God will send anyone to hell? How does that work? I can't worship a God who sends people to hell. Now, you see, that's a question from the world. But when you get into scripture, you find an answer to that question. Let me just give you a clue here. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Listen to what 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says. It is true. Actually, it's true that God does not send anyone to hell. Why? Because of 2 Peter verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, which reads, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That everyone should come. This is the heart of God. This is the heart of God. He wants everyone to come to repentance, a living knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, I like the word repent because repent means you change, not in your terms, but in the terms of the one that can save you from going to hell. This is the challenge we face today because so much has been drilled into our lives to do what we feel like doing. If it feels right, do it. I do what I want. So we have been raised to live for ourselves, to do what we want to do. But scripture is different. It's a different kingdom. We come to Jesus on his terms, not on our terms. You know, God loves us so much that he even gives us permission to go to hell. Can you imagine? Because this is a choice that we make. Let me give you something here to see, that to show you that Jesus, or rather the Trinity, has done everything to make sure we don't go to that place. And one of the things that they did is, out of one of the Trinity, he had to come in the flesh on earth, leaving his glory, so that he could die for you and me on the cross, so that we don't have to go to that place. This was Jesus himself saying, and he became flesh. He moved into our neighborhood. And the reason he came was to die. He came to die on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven, that we don't need to go to that place. That's one of the major things you must be aware of when we're talking about Jesus' love. That his love was not only talk, but he demonstrated it by leaving heaven, leaving his glory, and became man. So today we have a man in heaven, the man Jesus Christ. He's in heaven. But that's not all. God has also put roadblocks on the path of sinners so that they don't get to that place. And you know who those roadblocks are? The roadblock is you and I. It's witnesses that litter the path to hell so that people can be rescued. Your job is to stand there and say, stop! You're heading in the wrong direction. That's not the way to go. You need Jesus Christ. That is your role. That is my role. We are roadblocks that God has placed on the path to that place we don't want to go to. So if you're a roadblock, please do your job. You are a different kind of roadblock. Do your job. So we are all called. A true witness, of Jesus Christ understands this, that hell was not meant for human beings. And therefore, we have to preach this message. We have to share the good news and do what we can for our generation. We can do something. Amen? We can do something. I mean, have you ever wondered why angels are not going to come down to Sheffield to preach on our behalf? It's because the message of salvation has been given unto man to share with other fellow men. So we are here to share the gospel. We are here to be witnesses. No matter what the obstacles are, no matter whatever is being said, we are still called to share the gospel. Let me just say this very clearly. Even if the laws change, amen? Even if the laws change, Acts 1:8 has not changed. Matthew 28 has not changed. We are still called to share the gospel by all means possible to give glory to God. I'm going to finish here today. Maybe you're here today hesitating to share the good news. Maybe you feel like you're qualified, or whatever it is, you feel you're not fit to share the gospel. You know what? Just do what the Bible says and see what happens. Did you know that if you share the gospel and someone does not give his or her life to Christ, it's not your fault? All you have done is to share the good news, but you never know what will happen tomorrow, because they might remember what you say to them. Amen. You know, sometimes we reap where we did not sow. I remember speaking to people that are so easy. Even while I'm still sharing, they're saying, "Would you finish? I want to give my life to Christ." I'm thinking, I thought I'm just doing my job here. No, someone has done the job. All I need to do is just to reel it in. Reel it in. So whatever you're doing is adding something to the journey of that person. You're contributing to the salvation of somebody's life. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Is it okay? Father, thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement. We thank you for the responsibility we have to share the gospel. We know, Lord, that it's not by might nor by our own power, but that, Father, we can only do this when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so we ask you to fill us with your Spirit. We ask you, my Lord, that every obstacle that stands in the way, that, Lord, it will make way for your will to be done through us, particularly in this issue of witnessing. Father, give us boldness. I pray for boldness. I pray for courage. And I pray for wisdom from on high to share the good news without fear and without any intimidation whatsoever. That, Lord, we will step out by faith and begin to share the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.